Well, this morning I want to spend some time looking at that Matthew 24 passage, verses 1 to 14. It's the signs of the end of the age. And this morning we're talking about the end of the world and the events that will come before it, according to the Bible. It's not really light reading this morning. So I think shall we start with some prayer, just very briefly. Father God, as we hear this morning, would you speak? Would you speak through me? Would you teach us, encourage us this morning in Jesus' name? Amen. So when will the world end? How will the world end? Will we humans ultimately destroy it? There have been various individuals in our lifetime who've claimed to be from God and predicted the world's end being not far away. A couple of examples. NASA's Edgar Wiseman wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. 4.5 million copies sold. Amazingly, he wrote similar books in 89, in 93, in 97. Lester's own David Icke, you might recognize the name, a well-known former broadcaster and sportsman, famously appeared on Terry Wogan's chat show in the 90s, claiming to be the son of the Godhead, and warning of the end of the world through tidal waves and earthquakes. There was some laughter in the audience, and Wogan famously said to Icke, "They're laughing at you, they're not laughing with you." Well, verse 4 of our passage today, Jesus says, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah." Jesus is that Messiah. Jesus is the real thing. And in chapter 24 of Matthew, he gives us some insight into what the end times will look like. And whilst we probably don't like to think about the end of the world, and whilst there are some harrowing words that we've just read, I think it's possible to approach this topic and be hopeful and encouraged rather than feeling hopeless and fearful. So let's kick off with a really important point that I consider in this passage, the assumed knowledge. Jesus and the disciples seem to know this bit. This is the assumed knowledge. And that is, he will come again. Start simple. Jesus, that is God in human flesh, who walked this earth, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. He will come again. And when he comes, it will be him that draws the final curtain on the world as we know it. It won't be Vladimir Putin's nuclear button. It won't be a meteorite. It won't be artificial intelligence. It won't be a natural disaster. God himself, through sending Jesus, will conclude things. Just as God, in the beginning, spoke life into being. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he has the world in his hands. He is all powerful. It often doesn't feel like that, though, does it? Right now in 2023, it feels like the world is spinning out of control with no one in charge. The words we read in Matthew describing what it'll be like in the end times, that mess that Jesus describes, it sounds like our world today, doesn't it? Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia, US shootings, climate change, natural disasters, the refugee crisis, the state of our own country at the minute. Or on a spiritual level, people here and across the world rejecting God. Is God really all-powerful? Why doesn't he intervene? It's a difficult question that's been asked a lot. But what we do know when we ask that question is there is hope. There is hope. He will come again. The Bible does seem to suggest we are in those end times. It may not be long, And when he does come, he will restore this earth. That will be the end of this age. But then when he comes, there will be a new age. Jesus will establish his kingdom. And get this, he will welcome his own to join him. He will come again, we don't know when, but he will. He is the hope for the world this morning. So that's what I'm calling the assumed knowledge of this text. He will come again. So what's Jesus trying to teach then in the verses that we've read? To me, I think it can be summed up in two words. And hopefully you don't hear them too threateningly. But the two words, I think they're coming up on the screen. Be ready. We don't know when. He's given us some indication. But regardless of when, regardless of whether you think you'll be long gone or still around, be ready. A player gets injured in a Premier League football match and he needs a substitute to replace him. It amazes me when I watch on the telly that time and time again, it takes that substitute 3 or 4 minutes before he gets on the pitch. Because he's not put his shin pads on, or he's not got his shirt on, or he's not done his boots up, or finished his last minute warm up. You had one job, to be ready. How are you not ready? You've been at the stadium for hours. You've heard the team talk. You've done your pre-match warm-up. One job, to be ready. Okay, he didn't know when his time would come, but he knew to be ready. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Well, there's three ways I think today's passage tells us we can be ready. I'm going to pull them straight out of Matthew 24. If you have your Bibles or phones on you, do by all means look at that. I'm going to be pulling them straight out of the passage. From verse 6, I want to read a few verses. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. That's the disciples. And you'll be hated by the nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's heavy stuff. But keep reading, keep reading. The next line. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. How do we be ready? Firstly, stand firm. Stand firm and don't turn away from the truth that Jesus is Lord. In all things, stand firm. As we see on our screens the suffering of war or the devastation of natural disasters, and we question God, stand firm. Jesus is Lord. In our own personal lives, when we feel tempted to put God to one side, stand firm. Jesus is Lord. As we get busy and tempted not to pray, stand firm. He is Lord. As we grapple with the Bible and wish some of the words in there weren't there, stand firm. When social media tells us we can find meaning in every which way but God, stand firm. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved, it says in Matthew 24. Jo, my wife, always gives me a bit of a pearl of wisdom before each talk that I do. And this time, her pearl of wisdom was this. To stand firm doesn't mean we don't struggle. We can stand firm in our faith in Jesus through tears, through anger, through frustration. You've only got to look at the Psalms for that. You've only got to look at David for that. Some of the heroes of our faith stood firm, yet they wept, yet they shouted at God. In difficulty, standing firm means just learning to lean more on Him. If Christ came tomorrow, would He recognize me as one of His? Would He see me standing firm? Or would I blend in with the many who, according to Matthew 24, have basically forgotten God? Be ready by standing firm. How else can we be ready according to our scriptures? I think you saw a little hint of it a moment ago. But straight from the text, from verse 1 and 2, don't place your treasures on this earth. Verses 1 and 2, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. The temple was the most grand and the most important building in the world to the disciples. For them, it symbolized the presence of God. The temple was their treasure. But the purpose of the temple had been accomplished. Something new was about to take place. It was temporary. Jesus says, not one stone of the temple will be left on another. What is your treasure this morning? Is it this church building? One day it will be gone. Is your treasure your home? I'm so obsessed with my home in a bad way. I get so happy when it's clean and tidy. And so stressed when this last week the roof starts to leak again. Thankfully it's fixed. Maybe your treasure is your garden, or maybe your treasure is your car. When Jesus returns, whatever we build here, whatever we have here on this earth, won't matter. It'll be gone. So let's enjoy it whilst it's here. Let's use it well. Let's not abuse it. But don't get too precious about the things that will ultimately be dust. Be ready. Firstly, stand firm. Secondly, don't place your treasures on this earth. Thirdly, how else can we be ready according to Matthew 24? Well, very simply from verse 14, taking it straight out of the text, tell everyone about the kingdom of God. Tell everyone about the kingdom of God. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Our job as Christians in these end times is to tell people about the good news of Jesus and the hope we have in the kingdom of God. We can't take stuff with us into this new age. We can't take buildings, but we can take people. It's not easy to do, is it, to talk about Jesus? The best advice I was ever given about speaking about my faith was, first of all, make sure it matters to me. Then second, be honest. Why hasn't Jesus already come and put an end to this age? Well, these verses here seem to suggest he wants as many people to be invited to the party as possible. He wants it preached to the whole world that he is our finest treasure. Jesus will come again. Be ready. He is our hope. He is our eternal hope in an age that seems like it's hopeless. If you have trusted in him this morning, if you are in Christ, when the end comes, he's got you. You are redeemed. We sang there as a redeemer. You are redeemed by his love and grace. And there's no need to fear the future. And he'll take you into that new age, into his kingdom. That is our hope. That is our certainty. No guilt in life, no fear in death, we sing. I want to finish with a weather analogy. Don't worry if this isn't of any use to you at all. It was useful to me. We've had some bad weather lately. Our roof tiles testify to that. When there's a storm, you see lightning, and then a few seconds later, you hear the thunder. There's a time lag. There's a short time lag of a few seconds. Well, Jesus achieved his victory on the cross, and he will come again in victory to start the new age. The times we're in now, we're just simply in that little time lag. Once Jesus returns, we have an eternity to look forward to. This life will feel very short as we enjoy eternity with our Maker. Be ready, stand firm, don't place your treasures on this earth. And let's be telling everyone about our treasure. Shall we pray together? Father God, thank you that though our text seems pretty bleak, that we can have hope in you. We thank you that you have made a way. Would you help us, Father, to stand firm, to trust in you despite all that's going on around us, to lean on you more and more as the days go by. Help us to speak of our faith to people around us, to our young people here today, so many young people here today. We thank you for that. I pray that we might be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.